Closing address, President David O. McKay. David O. McKay, Conference Report, April 1956, pages 121-124. The first speaker of this session, Elder Lee, referred to the shortest designated highway in the state, and that shortest highway leads to the penitentiary. His excellent discourse and the inspirational discourses of the other brethren who have followed him have inspired us all. The Spirit of the Lord is here, and what I am going to say in a few words I hope will be in harmony with the spirit of those addresses. That reference to the highway reminded me of something to which we should have called the attention of 31,000 men of the priesthood last evening, but now I am glad that I overlooked it, for here is a better time and place, I think, to mention it. It refers to a number of young people who get on that shortest of highways. For several years we have asked the bishops to help us to protect them from getting on that highway. For a while we received help, and then that help practically ceased. There are two members of the Council of the Twelve appointed to receive your suggestions and recommendations, but these two members are helpless without your suggestions. In brief, many of our young girls, particularly, and not a few of our young boys, leave their homes, with the consent of parents, sometimes without the consent, and they come to larger centers in hopes of bettering their financial conditions, probably social conditions, and without proper guidance, without help, not a few get on that one-way road. And so we have asked that when every one of those girls or one of the boys leaves home to come to the city, the bishop will send word to Elder Spencer W. Kimball or Elder Mark E. Peterson giving the hometown address, and, if possible, the address of the boy or girl in Salt Lake City, Ogden, or some other center. The ward teacher should know the name of that boy and the name of that girl, for it is his duty to watch over the church always, to be with and strengthen them. If the teacher will notify the bishop that one of the members of his district is leaving home, and the bishop will inform the committee of the 12 of the fact, safeguards can be put around the young person. They are not bad boys or bad girls, intrinsically, but there are traps into which they may fall here and be caught in sin, as we have heard. Bishops, will you please do that? Ward teachers throughout the church, will you please watch over the church always over those who are sick, those who need your help, and particularly some of these discouraged young people? I think the thought that I am trying to get over is well expressed by that poem which the presiding bishopric has put into the hands of the lesser priesthood of the church. It is as follows. He stood at the crossroads all alone, the sunlight in his face. He had no thought for the world unknown. He was set for a manly race, but the road stretched east and the road stretched west, and the lad knew not which road was best. So he chose the road that led him down, and he lost the race and the victor's crown. He was caught at last in an angry snare, because no one stood at the crossroads there to show him the better road. Another day at the selfsame place, a boy with high hopes stood. He too was set for a manly race. He too was seeking the things that were good. But one was there who the roads did know, and that one showed him which way to go. So he turned from the road that would lead him down, and he won the race and the victor's crown. He walks today the highway fair because one stood at the crossroads there to show him the better way. We are just reminding you bishops of this safeguard. How effective the protection or guidance, though, depends upon you, and more upon the ward teacher. As this conference draws to a close, my heart is full of appreciation. This has been a great conference. Do you know how many have contributed to its success? I want to point out a few, even at the risk of omitting merited names. I have mentioned those who beforehand wished to make attractive and beautiful the rostrum and express their love in flowers. Again we mention them. Throughout the sessions we have expressed our gratitude to the radio stations and television stations, making it possible for tens of thousands to hear the message of the gospel from these leaders, and how impressively, eloquently they have given their messages. We have said thank you to the members of the choirs, but let me mention them again: the Brigham Young University choruses, with Brother Ralph Woodward and Brother Crawford Gates conducting. Those young people, you will never forget that picture filling the seats of the choir and overflowing into the galleries. Young people with high hopes, young people with faith, young people of purity. We appreciate what they did, and even more impressive, if that could be, our singing mothers. I cannot mention the name mother without being overcome with emotion. Those mothers who furnished that singing were the mothers of 1,600 children. Even their title, Singing Mothers, tells a story of sacrifice, a story of love, a story of home. No wonder they could sing the songs of Zion so inspirationally under the masterful leadership of Sister Florence Jefferson Madsen. Then there was the Reno Latter-day Saints male chorus under Lad R. Cropper, director whose singing inspired 31,000 members of the priesthood last night. We thank them, and today the Tabernacle Choir, singing the songs which inspired thousands in Europe, and when they sing the closing song, Try to picture yourself listening to them in London or in Glasgow or Paris, Switzerland, Holland, or East Germany, and see those audiences filled with enthusiasm, inspired, as this wonderful choir sang, "Come, come, ye saints." It is said that our echoes roll from soul to soul, and go forever and forever. Well, the echoes of those choruses are rolling in the souls of thousands over in Europe and will continue so to do for a long time to come. To Director Cornwall and the organists, we again express appreciation. Not many of you, I think, have noticed how attentive, how considerate, how prompt have been the ushers under the direction of Bishop Isaacson. They have spent hours here since conference began during meeting, between sessions from morning till night. We extend to you ushers thanks for your courtesy, consideration, and the very excellent way in which you have directed the affairs put into your hands. I have often spoken about the attention given by our police department. I do not know that they have ever rendered greater service than they have throughout this conference. You who have had to travel around this block have noticed three of our policemen, courteously watching to see that no accident occurs. Here on the south gate two men, at the west gate another, out at the north gate another, and others at crowded intersections throughout the city. To the mayor and city council, chief of police, and to all the members of that force we say thank you this day. To the Red Cross who have been here faithfully to render any help to those in need. To the fire department, members of which have stood on guard in case of some accident. To the reporters who have reported the exercises so efficiently and accurately. To all of you, we express sincere appreciation. Now I should like to express appreciation for a group of workers not connected directly with this conference but who are energetically contributing to the advancement of the work of the Lord, the volunteer labor missionaries who are down in New Zealand, down in Hawaii, who will be in Mexico and other places where schools and temples are being built. We should like them to know that we have them in mind and that they have our blessing. Able businessmen, skilled in carpentry, cement work, steel work, not many in the church know what they are doing. But it is a great force of skilled workmen contributing to the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. And we shall mention, too, the young men who accept 1 year, 2 year mission calls to lay bricks, or to drive trucks, repair machinery, etc. Young men, we appreciate what you are doing. It is a great school for you, and you learn much even while you contribute your time and effort. Finally, I wish to express gratitude to my beloved associates, the general authorities, who so kindly and considerately made mention of my half century of service in the Council of the Twelve. It was most gracious of you to express your congratulations and particularly your loyalty. The words coming from your hearts as they did touched me deeply. Next to the affection we have for our home and loved ones, we prize the loyalty of friends, but even more precious is the true feeling of brotherhood in Christ. This choicest of all blessings in human association in the church has been most manifest during this conference ever since our meeting referred to by Brother Kimball of the General Authorities in the House of the Lord last Thursday morning, and is expressed throughout this conference. Truly, we can sense more clearly than ever what John the Apostle had in mind when he wrote, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren." And I wish to tell you auxiliary workers and you members in the priesthood quorums of stakes and wards, that the brethren love you just that way, and what the primary is doing you could see by the reports of the Great Convention, and the high percentage of children that they have in attendance at their weekly meetings. They are doing just what you brethren have asked them to do. The Young Women's Mutual Improvement Association has enrolled every girl in the church. They will help you teachers your local Young Women's Association and its officers to find out when one of the girls is moving to another place, and they will be there to welcome them and to try to help them. The Young Men's Mutual Improvement Association in their competitive games, in their cultural, inspirational meetings, what a wonderful work they are doing. So, also, the great Sunday school cause, and our Mothers in Relief Society, where in all the world can you find so many groups working so efficiently, helps in government, as guides to your children as you find in the Church of Jesus Christ. We are not boasting, we are just stating facts. We might not say it to you officers of these auxiliaries, but we love you, and in our hearts are prayers for your success. And the priesthood quorums, the deacons and the Aaronic priesthood, the teachers and the priests there again, everyone enrolled, an opportunity for every boy to be active, instead of having the gang spirit, where the members try to destroy or to interfere with the ease and comfort of others. We have them active in rendering service to others, and that means, as President Clark stated, over 100,000 of them, and the presiding bishopric bringing in the senior Aaronic members, then the Melchizedek, the elders, 70s, and high priests. There is where we touch our home life. There are three parables to which I shall refer and close, all relating to lost ones. What I have said relates to preventing them from getting on the highway that leads to the detention home or to the penitentiary. Christ gave three parables which you will find in the 15th chapter of Luke. One is the parable of the lost sheep which wandered away from the flock. The second was the loss of one of 10 pieces of silver by a housewife. And the third was the prodigal son. The first referred to one that just simply wandered because it wanted to seek the best in sustenance of life. There was no sin involved. It became so engrossed in its own welfare that it wandered away from the flock. The second was largely due to carelessness, neglect, and the third was a determination to an abandonment to a life of indulgence and sin. Now you will find many in the church of these boys and girls who drift from the church because of other interests. They are not bad boys. Find them, bring them back into activity in the fold. In the second parable, the parents, through carelessness, let the girls go, or the girls defy parental interference or authority. Often the boys start out with wrong companions. You know how to deal with them, get them, too, into activity. The third, the prodigal son or the prodigal girl who goes down the line, who refuses the invitation to come back, refuses to enter into the activity of the church, such a one, as did the prodigal son, will go, I suppose, until he comes to himself, and then, as President Richards so eloquently expressed today, the spirit of repentance and the spirit of forgiveness will be operative. Brethren and sisters, may our Heavenly Father sanctify the instructions, admonitions, and testimonies that we have heard throughout this great and memorable conference. May He fill our hearts with love for one another in the true brotherhood of Christ. May that love in our homes, in our groups, in priesthood, and in the auxiliaries radiate so effectively that others, seeing our good lives, may be led to glorify our Father in heaven. I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.